When the church was first started, I kind of think there were moments just like this morning, where it's cozy inside of a house church that's just getting its legs underneath it, maybe back then. And Paul is gathered around people he knows, and he said, "Here, come at Hasley to 11 o'clock on a rainy day. I know you won't want to get out of bed. I know it'll be hard to leave, but look around." This is one of the few spaces I know of where you can come in any weather and still feel the exact vibrancy of the image of God's kingdom. Even if it's not out these windows, it's in these. And even in these windows, I wish you could see the water like I can. Maybe you can just a bit, at just the pitter-patter of the rain right now. No matter what the season brings, no matter if it's sunny and a bluebird sky day, or this weather, or snow, it's stunning. It's stunning, and it calls us here to make this a home. And so, as far as the spirit of the fruit that we're talking about today, faithfulness, this is where, like the preacher, every time on a rainy day people do come to church, they make the gold star joke, like, gold star for you. Way to be here on a Sunday that's not sunny. Way to stay with it. That's what we're going to talk about all morning. When that is basically the Apostle Paul's thesis when he's raising up these churches, these disciples who have followed Jesus, or now these apostles who are people who are sent. That's the difference. Apostles are sent. Disciples are students. And Paul's thesis is basically like, stay with it, shaking them by the lapel. Don't give up, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's unpopular, even when other people don't understand, stay with it. And I think that it's just beautiful that today we have All Saints Day and that it coincides with this fruit of faithfulness. We'll get to All Saints in just a minute, but what I want you to hear as we begin is the connection of standing on the shoulders of giants. You've probably heard that phrase. Here at the church, that's how the church was built. Generation after generation, building upon faith. And today we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke. This past Tuesday, I had the opportunity to preach to our staff. See, every Tuesday we have staff chapel, and on occasion they include sermonettes, I'll call them, which is hard to condense into a sermonette, but it happened. And the sermon that I brought was basically what I want us to talk about today. And it starts in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Because while we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit, we've really focused on stories that illuminate each variety of the fruit. And we haven't really gotten to the meat of what it is to raise up fruit. Planting, nurturing, growing, sowing, harvest. We haven't really gotten there yet. And that's because we're going there today. In the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 43 through 45, Jesus says this, kind of in the midst of his Sermon on the Mount discourse. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Ooh. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That is a good thesis for the sermon, for all of these fruit of the Spirit sermons. We have been talking about how to basically cultivate within ourselves the way of Christ. How to take what we read, what we learn about Jesus, and then say, okay, now how can I live that out? Right? And so we're obviously week to week so focused on what we can see. What we can see, the end result, the fruit that's produced. But what about all the stuff behind that? What about all the hours that you haven't seen of the faithful watering day after day? About the droughts, about the floods, about the fires? What about all that? And it's boiled all the way down to this practical piece, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. the mouth. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The outward result reflects the inward posture of the heart. As I was thinking about faithfulness, I knew who my first phone call would be this week to chat about this. I called my uncle. My uncle lives in the Midwest. He's a sixth-generation farmer. And I called him and said, let's talk. Let's talk about the farming life. Let's talk about what it means to sow seeds and to reap harvest. Let's talk about the cycle that is endured year after year, season after season. Teach me a little bit of your ways so that I can know better. As someone who lives in Plano, in this area, where so little of our area is farming anymore, we don't get to see the ins and outs of what that might look like. Okay, so I'm telling my uncle, teach me. And he says, well, where do I begin? Where do I begin? It's a way of life, because season after season after season, you basically have one choice, and that's to be faithful. You basically have one hope. And as a Christian man himself, you have hope in Christ, but I don't know how people do it, how people plant and harvest without faith. He said, I don't get it. I don't get it, because so much of what we're doing when we work, so much of what we're doing when we nurture that, is dependent upon the land. It's dependent on where you are. It's dependent on what type of rain was brought that season, what type of sunlight, how much drought, if there were fires. He said in 1 year, one season, we had two droughts back to back. And do you know how many people want to start farming the next season after back to back droughts? And then what about the floods? And when you have these different ebbs and flows of seasons, you basically start to wonder, how am I doing? What is mine to do? And what will just happen? He said that every time he comes to harvest, which is to reap the production of the grain, of the corn, of the soybeans, every time he comes to harvest, he's already thinking about planting for the next season, which I thought was really cool. I hadn't thought about it that way. Every time he's saying, did that work there? Was that too much of this? Did we nurture it the right way here? All things aside, what should we do next time? And that's so much like life, isn't it? So much of life, we're doing our best, and then we take a pause and evaluate. Would I do that again next time? Would I do it the same way? Would I plant the same seed? Man, did I nurture that seed the way I should have? Were there things in my control? Were there things out of my control? What kind of harvest am I looking for? This, my friends, is faithfulness, because as we go on through the Christian life, as we mentioned, the shoulders of giants on which we stand, we are handed down the faith. That's a very traditional way that we talk about the Christian life. You're handed it. We are handed these books. We had third grade Bible recently, and we hand the third graders a Bible. And in this, we come to learn Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and we give it to them and say, here. They just receive it. So the seed is planted, but what kind of nourishment must happen then? And all the time, we are planting seeds. The thing is that it's up to you to decide how you will nurture them, and which seeds and where they're planted. Have you planted seeds, maybe in St. Andrew? Over years and years, or maybe just a few days, or maybe this is your first Sunday, and you look around at this church body here and on the main campus, and you say, wow, someone has been watering this thing. Man, someone planted that seed a long time ago. Look how tall that tree is. Look how much fruit there is over here. Have you been planting seeds at home? And watering and watering and watering, and maybe saying, ah, I didn't think it was going to be that fruit. I thought I planted a fig tree and now it has apples. I thought I planted this and now it has that. Or have you looked around and said, yes, this has been nourished? What about malnourished? See, all throughout our life, the ebbs and flows, the long thread that's being pulled through, your life and mine is a course of decisions of faithfulness. That's the shortcut, y'all. The course of decisions to be faithful or to not. That's the Bible in a nutshell. Will you go God's way or will you go your own? And then we come to All Saints Day. And I look around at these names and I think, someday my name will be there. Someday your name will be there. We who are in this family of St. Andrew, someday there will be a day when our names are read and the bells chime. And then what? Will the fruit be obvious? Will other people walk here and say, oh my gosh, I don't know what the name of that person was or how long they spent laboring over it, but look at that fruit. Whoa, who did that? Receivers, just like a third grade Bible, handing it down. Who will we hand this place down to? Who will we hand more importantly, so much more importantly than this building or this place? Who will we hand the faith down to? It's up to you in many ways. And so much of the other side of it, just like farming, is up to God. The terrain, the land, the weather, the things that my uncle says on the phone, I just show up and I do the best I can. And I see what happens the next day, and the next day, and the next day. But all throughout it, my job is to be faithful. To be faithful to my God and to be faithful to the call and his call. And every single one of us in this room has a calling. Every single person, every single one of these candles is a calling. And I would venture to guess, because I recognize many of these names, you are seeing the fruit of these beloved. That's what All Saints calls us to. One time a year, one Sunday a year, as close to November 1st as it can be, because basically Halloween, which we have just celebrated on Thursday, all the cute trick-or-treaters, Halloween, the word hallow means saint. Really, All Saints Day is a period of 3 days. There is All Hallows Eve, then there is the Saints Day of Remembrance, and then we are here, celebrating All Saints Day in the church. And we do it because we know this stuff matters. The shoulders of the giants matter so much more than anything we can come up with. And that's what the Apostle Paul tells these people. Paul doesn't shockingly ask for his name in lights. To the best of my scripture reading ability, I haven't found anywhere where Paul says, I would like a bronze plaque and my name on a billboard and all of the recognition. That's not what I've found. What I've found is that instead, the Apostle Paul, whose number one calling, he said, is to imitate Christ, he says things like this. Philippians 3, verse 7 through 14. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing value and worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost everything. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ instead and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection, participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on. Those are two really important words. But I press on to take hold of that which for Christ took hold for me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. I didn't hear a guy who was concerned about name and lights. I heard a guy who was really concerned, though, really concerned about people knowing that this way of following Jesus is worth everything. Even when it seems like, oh, but it can't be worth that one thing, Or we can make a sticky note of exceptions. And Paul says, everything. He says, I said everything. And he goes around and he gives up everything to plant the church. And knowing many of these people, and even the ones I don't, these are people who gave everything. What a compliment. When the candle is lit and the bell is chimed, do you not want to be people that others look around and say, they gave everything? Oh, I knew him. He gave it all. Oh, I knew her. There was nothing she wouldn't do for her faith. You could just tell. It just radiated from him or from her. On All Saints Day, we're not saying that these people are perfect. And we're not saying that each of us are perfect. We are saying that they're faithful. And that's so much better than being perfect. It is so much better than being perfect. And so my question as we go forth is, where in your life are the seeds already planted? They're already there. So what happens now? What kind of nurturing, what kind of cultivating, what kind of farming or gardening needs to happen to those seeds so that they are something that not you're proud of, but that Christ looks upon and Christ says, oh, that one. I see that one growing. Oh, look at that one. Are they pleasing seeds that are growing? Are they going to bear fruit? The real kind of fruit? The fruit that the Bible says constantly is this fancy word, everlasting fruit. These are everlasting. These are. There's this grand thing called the communion of saints in the church, and it has so much to do with the holy mystery of the Christian faith. And my friends, the secret is that the communion of saints is among us. Not just when we have beautiful candles, not just when the bells chime, all the time. And that you're among them. We say it during communion Sundays, but is that enough? How is the faithful living built upon the foundation of the shoulders of giants who have come before you in your own family, in your own life? Mentors, teachers, siblings, parents, grandparents, pastors, anyone in your life, and you say, that is faithfulness. How is that being nurtured? And what will it take for us in this coming week to live in a way that others will look at us like that? On the inaugural service of this worship service, 7 weeks ago, I read a scripture from Jeremiah. And there are some scriptures that are just too good to be read just that infrequently. So we are going to read it again. Because here's the deal, is I want you to hear it in light of All Saints. I want you to hear it in light of this house church that you're in right now. This cozy, warm, beautiful space on a cold, well, warm, dreary day. Looks cold. You're in here right now for a reason. Either you came up with that reason or God did, but somehow you got here. And listen to this. This is your option. Look out upon this as I read it. And you tell me what you want to be. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in humanity, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water. It sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. You hear two different trees, two different ways to live. The parched places of the desert where nobody is, it says, or planted by flowing streams, unafraid when the inevitable droughts will come. sustained by community of trees, many all together, almost intertangled in a way of life and community that can never happen in the desert, y'all. It can never happen alone. Here, dependent upon what God is doing in this beautiful land, and all the while saying, while I can do my best to nurture, I am faithful. Which do you want to be? Which do you want your spouse to be? Which do you want your children to be? Which do you want your parents to be? And so on. This beautiful, beautiful way of life of being faithful, it isn't like being perfect. It's not being conformed to the world, as Paul says in Romans 12. It is being yourself because you are made in the Imago Dei, the image of God. It is leaning in and embracing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That, my friends, is the way. It is the good and the perfect and the pleasing way. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may we be planted by streams of water, ready to be nourished and ready to nurture others. Help us to embrace the world around us in all of its chaos and disorder. Help show us the way that you are making your order out of it, your respite, your beauty. It can be found in even the darkest of places. On a dreary day, we are here bright inside, and we are proclaiming, you are worth everything. We stand on the shoulders of the giants, of these saints who are on our altar table, but on so many that we carry in our hearts. Would you bless us as we remember and recall and mount ourselves upon that legacy? All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.